Morning, everybody. Turn to John chapter 3 this morning. We'll continue our journey through the book of John. We went through the first five or six verses last week, and we're going to do them again this week, but with a different point in them. And so we're going to just go ahead and start, and we're going to read through it. John chapter 3, starting in the first verse, give a little context again. And it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us that we can look into, that we can learn from, that we can find truth in, Lord. Lord, that we can find our guide in how we're supposed to live this life. Lord, we thank you for the chance that we have to be part of your family. And thank you for the church here in Glendive. Lord, and I just pray that you continue to help it grow in every which way, Lord. I thank you so much for your love for us. We pray these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. So the first part in verse 3 is what I want to kind of focus on to start with when he answers this question. And Nicodemus was a man that was a very righteous man. He had lived a good moral life. He was one of the leading Jews, and he comes to Jesus and he asks this question of him, and asked, you know, unless you're of, we know that you have to be of God because you can do these things if you weren't. And Jesus answers him kind of interestingly. He doesn't really answer what Nicodemus is saying. He answers and he tells him, "Truly, truly, unless I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The part I want to focus on there to start with is understanding what the kingdom is. And we've talked about the kingdom quite a bit and how it is the kingdom is the church. And how Jesus, when he was on earth, he didn't preach Jesus, but he preached the kingdom. And that was his ministry. But a few spots I want to look at. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and this is John the Immerser here. In verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3, it says, "Now, in those days, John the Immerser came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Turn over another chapter to chapter 4 of Matthew chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. And it says, "Now when he heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee," this is Jesus talking about, "and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them light dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Go over to Mark chapter 1. There's another account of this. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And it says, "And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and the kingdom of which he was speaking of was not a futuristic time when we all go to heaven, but when you look at the kingdom, he's talking about the church age, and he's talking about the time that we're going to be, that was coming at hand. When he says it's at hand, that means it's something that's coming soon. And John spoke about it, and Jesus spoke about it. And when he's talking here in the Matthew context there, when it was talking about the fulfilled prophecy, it talked about those who were in the darkness now have light upon them, and those who lived in the land of the land of darkness and death, shadow and death, they have now got light. What I believe that is talking about, and what we know from the kingdom, is that the kingdom was no longer just for the Jews, correct? The kingdom was brought to the Gentiles, and it was something that was brought to them so that they could be a part of God's family. And therefore, from my understanding, is that the kingdom, when it's talking about there, is talking about the church. It's talking about the time from when Jesus set up his new covenant after he resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven, when his new covenant came into effect. It brought in everybody from it, and that is what it was talking about. If you turn over to Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, let's go verse 28. It says, Jesus speaking here, he says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, if we just take and we deduct here, whoever's in the kingdom whoever's in the kingdom is greater than that of John. So, if we think that the kingdom is specifically talking about heaven when we get there, from my understanding, John's going to be there. So, if everybody that's in the kingdom is greater than John, I don't think that when we get to heaven we're going to be greater than John. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think it's saying that us being in the church age and having the Holy Spirit living inside of us while we're on earth, we are able to be better than what John the Immerser was. And so by looking at that logic, it tells us that, okay, John's going to be in heaven, and we're going to be in heaven. So it's not talking about heaven, it's talking about the kingdom. Something that John couldn't be a part of. See, John was under the old covenant, and he died before Jesus resurrected and ascended, so he was part of the old covenant, and he now is part of he has been brought in based off of his stuff from old, but we were able to receive the Holy Spirit in the church age. We were able to receive the Holy Spirit in the new covenant, and that is what gives us better chance and better, that's what, when he says we are greater than John the Immerser, even the least in the kingdom, he's talking about having the Holy Spirit. You see, John lived in a time he couldn't have that. He couldn't have what we have. And the men of old couldn't have what we have. But we live under the greater covenant that Jesus has set up. The plan that he had for us. The plan that he wanted for everybody to receive. Is for us to receive the Holy Spirit and to live that way. But I think that if we look at different things, we understand. And we go through and we read about the mustard seed and how it's a small seed and it grows and grows and grows and it becomes like a tree and it becomes bigger than all of the other plants in the garden. And it's very much a picture of the church. It started off very small at the beginning and it grew and grew and grew. And we read about all sorts of other parables in comparison to that about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and the kingdom very much talking about the church. Turn back over to John chapter 3. So if we have the understanding that the kingdom of God that Jesus is referring to there is talking about the new covenant, when he answers these questions, we understand what that means that we're trying to get into. Because if you don't know what you're trying to get into, you don't know what the purpose is of the stuff. So when he's talking about the kingdom of God and he's talking about being a part of the church, the new covenant, he's talking about when he answers these questions to Nicodemus here, he says, we have to be born from above to be a part of that. And we mentioned the Greek last week on that born again, being born from above. And let's go back to verse 4. It says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the Spirit, born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Might have missed a spot there. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. I was short one in chapter 3 of John. I wanted to read verse 6 that says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, with that context, we go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, But if you bite and devour another, take lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we know that there's a difference between the flesh and the spiritual, and the spirit and the flesh are always fighting one another. And we understand that if we're going to be born from above, like it says in John chapter 3, that we have to be born of the Spirit. And if somebody is already living and they have a life, if they're going to become a changed person, what has to happen to their life? It has to be put to death. It has to be done. You have to get rid of it. You can't be that person anymore. And that's not just in the context of the spiritual side. It's the context of other things too. If you've got bad habits and stuff, you've got to put that part away. You've got to put that part away so the new person that you are can be free, right? But in the spiritual side, it's definitely true that we have to get rid of that old person. And to be born, if you're already living, to be born and to become a new person, you have to put to death something else. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Or do you not know that all of you who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through immersion into death, in order that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Something has to be put to death. The flesh has to be put to death to be born of the Spirit. You can't be alive to the flesh and alive to the Spirit. You've got to put it to death. Now, I understand that this is a concept that sometimes can be confusing, but we have to understand that yes, we're living in a fleshly body still, but what we're putting away is the desires and the deeds of the flesh, and that old person that we used to be, and the life and the inner man that we used to have, the inner man that we used to desire to do the different things, and we're replacing him with the spiritual inner man, replacing him with Jesus living inside of us and cleansing that inner man so that we can live the spiritual life. You see, yes, we're still tied down to this earth by this flesh and skin and bones that we have, but spiritually, we have done away with the inner man like that. And we have brought in the inner man that is born of the Spirit. And how that happens is being buried with Christ in order that we might walk in newness of life. Turn back over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of the water, of water and the Spirit." That word for water there just simply means water. But water and the Spirit. Now, I had some conversations with a guy this winter, had a Bible study with him that really took this passage of Scripture and really tried to tie it into speaking in tongues and healings and things like that. And I don't think that's talking about that at all, because it specifically talks about being born of the water and of the Spirit, and it's not talking about the Spirit of the specific gifts that we can do or that they used to be able to do with the Spirit, but it's talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we'll start there. 2:37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said, 'Repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God shall call to himself.'" Okay, so we look at this here, and they're specifically asking what they should do to get rid of the old person. What do we got to do to make this right? What do we got to do to be saved from this awful deed that we have done in murdering Jesus, murdering the Son of God? And Peter responds with two things. He says, "Repent and let each of you be immersed." So immersed in water, and that connects us to the water that Jesus is talking about, I believe. And then he says, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," which is, in return, being born of the Spirit, having the Spirit indwell us. You see, in Romans chapter 6, when he says we are buried with him in immersion, we are buried with him so that we might walk in newness of life, it's talking about being buried in the water and coming up somebody different, having the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And it's the same thing that ties together with Acts chapter 2 when they ask, what are we supposed to do to make this different? What are we supposed to do to be saved from this? And he says, be immersed in water and receive the Holy Spirit. Dead to the old self, alive to the new self. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we'll start in the first verse. "And it came about while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" Okay, so we'll just pause there for a second. So he asked them about the Holy Spirit, if they received it, what they believed, and they said, "No, we don't even know, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. This is a foreign idea to them. They don't know what it is." Now remember, these guys, if we go back in context and read chapter 18, these guys that Paul come in contact with were disciples that were taught by Apollos, and Apollos was teaching and preaching the things accurately of the way of Jesus. But being short, just a little bit of the story, right? And Priscilla and Aquila take him aside, and they explain things more accurately to him. And he comes and he goes across with them to Achaia, and then Paul comes into Ephesus after they leave, and he finds these guys. So these guys know about Jesus, and they've been taught accurately the things of Jesus, and they've been immersed in water, but it was for a different immersion. And so when Paul asked them, "Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit?" they said, "No, we don't know what it is." And then he directly, specifically asks, "Into what then were you immersed?" So Paul himself directly ties receiving the Holy Spirit with immersion in verse 3. In verse 3 of chapter 19, "And he said to them, 'Into what then were you immersed?' And they said to him, 'Into John's immersion.'" Okay, John's immersion was the immersion for repentance. And it had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit yet because it was pre-Jesus, right? Except for these guys were taught post-Jesus about John's immersion. So they were immersed post-Jesus' death, the resurrection, and ascension. But they didn't understand that there was the immersion for salvation and to receive the Holy Spirit. So when Paul tells them this, and he says, and Paul said in verse 4, John immersed with immersion of repentance, telling people to believe in him who is coming after him, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul ties directly being born of the Spirit and receiving that Holy Spirit with the death to the old self and the burying in immersion. Which ties right into what Jesus answers Nicodemus when he says, if you were to be born from above, truly, truly, I say to you, you will not enter the kingdom of God unless you were born of this water and born of the Spirit. It ties directly in to being immersed, killing the old self, being walking in newness of life, being resurrected with Christ, as it talks about in Romans, and receiving the Holy Spirit, being born of the Spirit, as it talks about in Acts. Turn back over to John chapter 3. Verse 7, and it says, "Do not marvel," Jesus saying to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you that we speak of that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man." Nicodemus is having a hard time understanding here, but he also understands. Okay, so the old covenant under the when the Jews were all throughout history, I mean they were like seeing all these amazing signs that God was doing, and he was pulling them out of Egypt, and he was pulling them out of this stuff, and then they would forget, and they wouldn't believe that he could, you know, even offer them food. He pulls them all the way out of Egypt and through all the stuff, and they saw all the great things that happened, and he delivered them from them, and then they asked, "Well, we're going to starve. It would have been better off back at Egypt." See, but sometimes we can be that way a little bit too. Sometimes we dog the early Jews for that stuff. But we have to remember that sometimes we're like, hey, you know, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. And he ascended into heaven. Okay, that's pretty wild stuff to believe. So if we can believe that, and then we believe that God doesn't purify us when we become Christians, and doesn't allow us to have strength in Him, and doesn't allow us to be able to live righteously, if He can take and resurrect Jesus from the dead and ascend Him back to His throne, and go through all of that, those things that are just wildly unbelievable, if you're looking at it from an earthly logical standpoint, then why can't we believe that He can change us? See, and not only us, but sometimes we get the mindset that, hey, you know, I know this guy, but he's a pretty bad dude. You know, God's going to have to really work there. Absolutely, God's not going to have to work at all there. It'll be pretty easy for him if the guy wants to make the decision. There's a lot of things that have to happen for that guy maybe to come to Christ, but it's not hard for God to bring that guy to Christ. God done a lot more great things. And when Nicodemus is asking, well, how can we be born from above? Jesus is like, dude, what all have you seen happen? And you don't understand that this is impossible now? All the stuff that your fathers have talked about for years and that have went through the generations of all the stuff that have happened, and you're seeing the signs that I'm doing, and you don't understand that God is powerful? Sometimes we get that way, though. Sometimes we think, okay, God can do amazing things, but He doesn't really care about, you know, me that much. He can't really help me overcome this thing that I have a problem with. He can't really help me get over this addiction. If we believe that he raised Jesus from the dead and that he's ascended to the throne, then why can't we believe that he can help us with the addiction? Why can't we believe that he can help us with the overcoming of the sin? Why can't he believe that he will help us with giving us strength and help in reaching people? We have to believe that if we can believe the craziness, that the world absolutely thinks we're absolutely crazy for believing that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I mean, that don't happen. People die, and they don't come back. But we believe that Jesus did because we have looked through the Scriptures and we've found the truth in it. So let's believe the rest, too. Truly I say to you, verse 5, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. We have to make a choice every time, every day. We have to make a big choice originally to decide whether we want to take that step and follow Christ, or we want to continue in the flesh. But then we have to make that choice daily after that. We have to put that flesh to death. We have to leave that flesh behind. As Kirk talked about it in his class last week, about sanctification and how that looks. Nicodemus came to Christ, asked him some questions, and Christ put together a way here and showed us in this passage that ties together with so many other scriptures how we can be a part of that. We have to be born from above. We have to be born spiritually. It's not about where you're physically born anymore. It's about where you're spiritually born. And that's a choice that we make every day. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not look at ourselves as being just fleshly, earthly, sinful, natured people, because that's not what we are. We are born of the Spirit. He has brought us into His family. He can change us. He has changed us. Let's believe that He can do what He says He can do. And let's trust and have faith that what He promises will happen, will happen. But let's be like Nicodemus as well. Let's be humble enough to go and ask. Let's be humble enough to go and seek it out. I believe that Nicodemus followed Christ. I believe that he came around, and I hope to see him someday. We can look at a lot of these guys, and there's, you know, it's all through the Scripture. There was a point where I believe it was Paul that was in the synagogues, and he was speaking, and they put the city in an uproar, and people went to they wanted to throw Paul in jail, but they ended up beating the guy, the synagogue leader there, and his name was Sothenes. Later on, we read about Paul writing to a guy named Sothenes. God can change people. He was probably not a very good dude at one point. You look at Paul himself. Paul was murdering Christians, putting them in jail, standing there holding coats when they were stoning Stephen. And then he becomes and writes most of the New Testament. God can change people. God is much more powerful than we give him credit for sometimes. And it's not hard for God to do it. God desires all men to be saved, whether you were a Jew or whether you weren't a Jew, whether you put Jesus to death or whether you didn't. In fact, actually, all of us put him to death by our deeds. But we understand that God has given us a spot for that, given us a chance that we can be like those men in Acts 2:38 that says, what shall we do? And Peter can respond, repent, be immersed, receive the Holy Spirit. We can be those people. God put together a plan, not for just people back then, but for people for all time. Let's be willing to go to Him. Let's be humble enough to humble ourselves to follow His plan and to understand what He is saying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the examples we have in the scripture that can help lead us to a better understanding of you, Lord, and to better equip us for helping others. Lord, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for the plan that you you have put together for us to be born out of the Spirit, Lord, and to put to death that old self. Lord, we understand that it's not based off of our own power, but on your power, Lord, and your strength, the work that you do inside of us. Lord, I just thank you for Jesus, and we just pray these things in his most holy name. Amen.